Yeah. What's happening over there?
You like how I timed that? You like how I timed that?
Come on with it.
Here we go. Oh, I'm not moving too slow. You know what time it is.
Twelve Man
Sports is on the air. Man, welcome once again to a special leap year edition of Talking Sports with the 12 Man. Today is Wednesday, February 29th. Got a lot of things to talk about. I am Andre Peterson, joined by the incredible Robert Ford, and we got a lot of fun things happening tonight. You know, right, Rob? You doing good?
Oh yeah, doing fantastic. How about you? I know you're under the weather a little bit, hanging in there, man.
I think I'm probable for the show, man. I think I can pull this off, man.
So, probable. Okay.
I'm feeling probable. But real quick, what we're gonna talk about tonight? We got a lot of fun things. We're gonna recap the NBA All-Star Weekend. Just kind of a quick little recap about that and kind of your thoughts, Robert, about what we should do about the dunk contest. We're also going to talk about the NFL Combine, some winners and losers, and some key thoughts about that. Obviously, some good guys that improved their stocks, some guys that didn't do as well. March Madness is almost here, so, you know, obviously we're going to talk about that, and obviously some NFL free agent talk. So a lot of things to jump into. And with that, Rob, just real quick, for those who want to call into the show, the number is 424-243-9519. And, Rob, I'm going to defer to you. Real quick, we didn't recap about the NBA All-Star Weekend. What do you think about that and kind of your thoughts on the dunk contest?
Well, first off, I think the dunk contest, what's going to happen is we got to get the elite players back in it. First of all, we're having a contest with a bunch of guys people have never heard of.
Yeah.
I think Jeremy Evans did an outstanding job personally in the slam dunk contest, but everybody else was just kind of whack. And, you can make a case for Paul George and the glow in the dark. But I just think we got to get the elite players. I mean, LeBron James has never even participated in the slam dunk contest. I mean, come on. Michael Jordan competed in the slam dunk contest. Kobe Bryant did. Dominique Wilkins did. The elite players have all done it. And why hasn't LeBron James been in a slam dunk contest? We got to get the elite players back in it. I don't know if you watched the rookie sophomore game on Friday night, but John Wall was incredible. He should have been in the slam dunk contest. Why are the big name players not in the slam dunk contest is beyond me. I mean, Jeremy Evans, who is he?
Yeah, you're right.
Paul George is an up-and-coming ball player. But come on, most of the world don't know these people. And we got to get the elite players back in and for it to build some interest. But other than that, the All-Star Weekend, the rookie-sophomore game, Kyrie Irving was incredible. The guy's got star potential written all over him. He was 8-for-8 for the three-point range. Tony Parker did a pretty good job in the skills competition. And Kevin Love, you're talking about, he's the new big fundamental. You remember Tim Duncan had the big name, big fundamental? Kevin Love is the new big fundamental. This guy can step outside and hit threes. He can rebound the ball. Fundamentally sound ball player. And the Minnesota Timberwolves are quietly an improving team that has a chance to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, I was having this conversation earlier, too, as far as who's like the top power forward in the game. And surprisingly, I said, yeah, Kevin Love is up there. I mean, obviously, so good deal with that, too. Just kind of piggyback what you're saying as well, too, on the dunk contest. And I think you hit the nail right on the head, too, as far as, you know, there's a lot of no-names in there. And before, it used to be a rite of passage, you know, basically saying, okay, I'm going to be in the dunk contest because, like you said, you had the big names, you know, the Vince Carters, the Michael Jordans, the Clyde Drexler. You had a lot of good people that were actually participating. And nowadays, you got guys doing, like, 11 dunks. They're missing dunks. And too many props, I think, and it's just not it's not the way the slam dunk contest should be. So, you know, obviously, it's we definitely got to do something. The NBA, I know they're looking at it, and if they're going to add some extra something in there to kind of make it a little bit more challenging, I think that'd be a good thing as well. And yeah, like you said, John Wall was killing it. Kyrie Irving, yeah, like you said, we just got the new Sports Illustrated, and they had a good article on him and how he's not pretty much the savior, if you will, but he's kind of like they're trying to do some things now to kind of build with him. So I think Cleveland has learned a lesson, but, you know, here's a guy that's definitely the sky's limit for him, you know?
Yes, yes. And Byron Scott to get to work with another good young point guard. You know, he had Chris Paul early in his career with the Hornets, and now he's got Kyrie Irving. So it'll be interesting to see if they can put a few more pieces around him and maybe be back in contention there at Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't know what we thought whenever he was coming to the draft. We thought, you know, he was going to do some things, so I think he was hurt. So obviously it's really good to see him to kind of hit on that. And, you know, young team, and hopefully they'll get a chance to do some things. But, you know, like you said, Minnesota, good young team too. Ricky Rubio, they're building. So it's going to be an exciting future for the NBA.
Yeah, and Minnesota's got Michael Beasley, Derrick Williams. I mean, they have some pretty good talent on that team. And,
yeah.
I know they got a lot of forwards, but their team is quietly that's hanging around this playoff. I mean, as a Hornet fan, you know, we need Minnesota to be losing some games because we get their first round pick this year. So we want to see them in the lottery. you know, we need that extra, we need another top notch first round pick to build our team. So, as a Hornets fan, you know, I'm kind of rooting against them. But Kevin Love is definitely a new big fundamental.
A new big fundamental. We've given him the name has been passed on. Well, like I said, with that, let's go ahead and jump into the NFL Combine, which was this past Wednesday, Thursday, Thursday, Friday, all that fun stuff, Saturday and Sunday. And I guess, if you've been under a rock, obviously, you know, the big news were quarterbacks Andrew Luck and Robert Griffin III, RG3, and, their status. And I think you want to talk about some winners and losers. And before we get into that, I had a quick question for you, because I think before we were talking about this, and you said if you were the agent for Andrew Luck and for RG3, you wouldn't advise him to throw at the combine. Kind of want to get your thoughts on that, because I'm going to take a different stance on this, and kind of why would you not allow them to throw, or why do you think it's probably a good idea for them to throw at the combine, if you will?
Well, my thought process, as an agent, as the player, the competitor in the player always wants to compete. But as an agent, the agent has to look out for the best interest of the player. And if you're going to be a top five pick in the draft, there's no reason for you to throw at the combine. And so that was just kind of like my thoughts behind why I totally agree with Luck and Griffin not throwing at the combine. But here's my thinking. If Luck would have decided to throw at the combine, then Griffin would have had to throw, because Griffin, you know, would have been looked upon as why Luck is doing it and Griffin is not. But if Griffin decided to throw, I don't think Luck has to throw, because Luck is still the consensus number one pick in the draft. And so, I mean, that's just kind of like my thought process. But overall, if you're a top five quarterback in the draft, and it looks like these guys, based on the way Robert Griffin III performed at the combine, he's the shoe-in number two pick, and Andrew Luck is the shoe-in number one pick. The Rams are going to trade that number two pick. And it looks like Cleveland may be the front runner to get that pick. And so they're going to be the top two picks in the draft. And both of them had great combines. I mean, Robert Griffin III, 4.4140, 39-inch vertical leap. Andrew Luck, I mean, not too shabby, 4.67. And probably one of the most accurate quarterbacks come out of college in years.
Wow. And I think it's interesting because, good stuff on the combine. And I'm a fan of RG3, man. I think this guy is just good to see him. Kind of similar to what happened with Cam Newton. I want to see them be successful. But like I said, I'm going to take a different stance whenever we were talking about the thing, because even last year, Cam Newton didn't have to throw. He wasn't going to throw at the combine either. When the competitor in him allowed him to throw, and he was still the consensus, number one quarterback. I mean, it may not have been the number one pick, but obviously he was going to be the number one quarterback. But I think that they said that a lot of times in that combine, he had a chance to work on things that at the combine. So basically, he did some throwing, and I guess a lot of the scouts, they weren't concerned the fact that he was missing receivers, but it was more or less for him, that he actually got out there and did that. So my stance would be, even if you're not really allowed, even if you don't want to get in there, I think it's good to kind of get your throws in there. And if that way you can come back and say, I want to work on some things. Obviously, if there's players that run a bad 40, you still have your pro day to make up for that. And so I think it's kind of a good way to kind of say, hey, I'm out here, I'm throwing, I want to be competitive. Just kind of throw caution to wind, if you will. So that's my stance. Yeah. I figure even if you're the number one guy, what does it hurt? Obviously you can get some guys and say, hey, I'd work on this route, I'd work on your footwork, or I'd get a chance to do that too. Because, at this juncture, as mentioned, these guys are obviously incredible. Interviews, great as far as the game tape and little things like that. So, that was kind of why I'm thinking, guys, go ahead, it doesn't hurt to throw. So, anyway.
Yeah.
I digress. Yeah, that's just what I was doing.
I'll make one quick comment about Cam Newton last year. I mean, Cam Newton was the number one pick in the draft, but if you realize, he wasn't consensus number one by all GMs across the league. There were some teams that rated him 15th best player in the draft last year, if you recall. This year you have a consensus number one and a consensus number two. And where last year, I mean, there were people had ratings all over the board. Some had Blaine Gabbert number one. Some, like I said, there were some teams that rated Cam Newton the 15th best player on the draft last year. And it's just that Carolina had a high grade on him and they took him number one. And so he still had a lot to prove at the combine. And where, like I said, Luck and Griffin, these guys are consensus number one and number two picks. In this draft, not only are they impressive on the field, they're impressive in the interview room as well, and they're really sharp guys as well.
Yeah, good stuff too. So I guess let's talk about your winners and losers. Before we do that, I want to give out the number. Those who want to call into the show, check us out, 424-243-9519. Also, don't forget to tweet us at 12th Man Sports. A lot of things. So, Rob, I guess tell me your winners and losers and kind of your thoughts about that. We've got about 17 minutes here on the show. And
no problem. My winner is at the combine. We already talked about Robert Griffin III and Andrew Luck. They're definitely two, even though they didn't throw, they were still winners at the combine. I'm going to tell you about a guy, Dontari Poe, defensive tackle from Memphis, might have had the most impressive combine of anybody. You're talking about a guy maybe a couple of months ago was a second, third-round pick. He's a sure-in first-rounder. This guy is huge. He's mammoth, 6'4", 346 pounds. He had the best bench press. He was the strongest man at the combine. Had 44 reps of 225 pounds. Very quick. You're talking about a guy with that kind of size who's probably faster than just about everybody that's listening to the show tonight. That way. And he's going to be a shoe-in first-round pick. And, teams are going to be salivating over this guy. But he's definitely one of the big winners. I mean, once again, bench press, 225 pounds, 44 reps, more than anybody else at the combine. And he showed lots of quickness and explosion. Then when you turn on his game film, he still looks fast and strong and explosive. So he only helped his cause. The only question about him coming into this combine was his level of competition. But, playing in Conference USA, but I think he answered a lot of those questions. Another guy who helped himself, who was already kind of had a first-round grade, was Luke Kuechly, linebacker from Boston College. Even in my mock drafts, I haven't gone to the top 15. You're talking about a guy who might even sneak up to the top 8 now, ran a 4.58. Vertical leap, about 38 inches, steady linebacker, very smart, very athletic. I mean, he solidified his status and probably is even going to move up a little in the draft. Another inside linebacker who was probably considered a third or fourth rounder was going to move up the draft, Michael Kendricks, middle linebacker from Cal. Saw you guys in the Bay Area listening to
Cal.
Yeah. Michael Kendrick ran a 4.47, one of the fastest linebackers in the combine, 39.5 vertical leap, 127-inch broad jump. And so scouts are salivating over his athleticism at the linebacker position as well. And we talk about one of your Georgia Tech guys, Stephen Hill, another winner at the combine, 4.36 40. And unfortunately, you're talking about a guy who played in a pass sad offense at Georgia Tech instead of a pass happy offense.
Why we got to go there, man? Come on.
we speak the truth. Don't talk the sports of 12 man.
I know.
But they're pass happy. I mean, they're run happy team. So I mean, come on. But you're talking about a guy who got stuck. Probably didn't get a chance to showcase his skills in that Georgia Tech offense, but this is a guy that has the potential to shine at the next level. And I think he might even sneak into early second round, late first round pick now with what he showed at the combine. Once again, 4.36 40. I think that measure that's second fastest. Showed very good hands in catching the football at the combine as well. And last but not least, my last winner at the combine, Josh Robinson, defensive back with Central Florida. He had the fastest 40 time, 4.33. Projected more like a fourth or fifth round guy, but he's going to move up. Probably still won't be a first rounder, but he's going to move up to a second or third round grade now. Was showing that level of speed. And I'm sure, if he's able to show this again at his pro day, it will still just solidify that. But he's going to move up on a lot of teams' draft boards as well. And I only have three losers. Riley Reiff, offensive tackle from Iowa. As you've seen, even in my mock drafts, and even most mock drafts, some people have him going as high as number six. I've had him in that 8 to 10 range. He could drop a little. Most teams like their left tackles and right tackles have very long arms. His arms measured only at 33 1/4 inch. And that could hurt you at the tackle position. You got to have those arms to extend out. And, unless teams can find a way to move him inside the guard, his grade will probably drop. There'll be some teams concerned about his wingspan and his arm length. Another guy, Chase Minifield, cornerback from Virginia, only bench pressed 225 pounds 7 times. We talked about the Terrier Polder 44 times. Chase Minifield only did 7 times. And he shows, even when you're watching this film, he shows lack of aggressiveness and making tackles in a running game. So I think he's going to probably drop from a third round to a mid to late round guy. There are going to be some teams that are going to be questioning his aggressiveness and his tackling ability. And I'll tell you, the guy who probably performed the worst at the combine, who some people even had as a late first, early second round grade, Vontaze Burfict from Arizona State. Two awful 40 times. One of them even ran in the five range. So you're talking about a guy who some people believe may even drop as low as the seventh round to undrafted.
Wow.
And who was a late first, early second round grade. So he might have the biggest haul of any player in his draft. And it's unfortunate. Some people make the comparison. It's the linebacker that played at Florida, Spikes, Brandon Spikes, a few years ago. That Brandon Spikes bombed at the combine. But Brandon Spikes also was an All-American at Florida, so people had enough game film on him, to at least solidify him with a second-round pick. But Vontaze is going to drop a lot further than Brandon Spikes did.
Wow. Yeah, you got to be – if you're like Vontaze, like you said, you have to show something as far as being physical or something else. And, there's not enough tape on him, so that's a big, big drop. So, if I'm him, I'm like faking an injury or something like that, man. Something was wrong, Or my pro day, I got to, blow it out the water,
Exactly.
Man, good stuff on the winners and losers, Rob. That's a lot of good stuff. I guess keeping on the subject, too, obviously we know the first two quarterbacks are going to be RG3 and obviously Andrew Luck. What do you think the third quarterback is going to be? And tell us your thoughts on Brandon Whedon, the oldest quarterback at 29 years of age. Kind of reminds me of of Shane Battier back in the day, getting drafted in the 2001 NBA draft. A lot of good players in that draft, including Joe Johnson, believe it or not, but as I digress. But tell us your thoughts on who you think are the next couple quarterbacks here and some other surprises that we think for the combine.
Well, I think Ryan Tannehill is still going to be the third quarterback taken in the draft. Some scouts who are a little concerned about his small hands. But I think, you know, I think he's a guy that can sneak into the latter part of the first round, or he'll be an early second round pick. I think one of the guys I didn't have on my winners, but he probably could have been on the list, is Kirk Cousins from Michigan State. I think he solidified himself as the number four quarterback in his draft out of Michigan State. He had a great combine, showed great arm strength, showed great accuracy, showed great athleticism, and he's going to solidify himself as the number four quarterback in this draft. Brandon Whedon is probably somewhere at number five or number six. I think Brandon Wheaton's age is actually is a hindrance to him in this draft. I mean, if he was coming out as a 21, 22-year-old, I think he'd be a surefire second-round or late first-round pick. But at that age, some scouts would look at him maybe as only being a 5-6-year player in the league. And so do you want to waste a first-round pick on a player who's only going to play, you know, for so many years in the league? So, I mean, you're talking later second-round, third-round at best for Brandon Wheaton.
Wow. And also now, this is kind of a bias here, but tell me your serious thoughts on Jordan Jefferson, because I was watching the combine, and this dude has incredible arm strength. Now, I know obviously that's not the whole thing as far as, you know, having a strong arm to be. You have to have more than that looking at Jamarcus Russell. But tell us a little bit about, I mean, you're sure, I think you said that he was going to be undrafted, but do you think that he has a shot to actually do something in it? Because like I said, I mean, you don't wake up and have arm strength like that whenever I was watching a lot of the throws that he was making.
Well, Jordan Jefferson, here's the thing with Jordan Jefferson. All the athletic twos, you just don't have it between the ears. And so that's what's going to hurt him. There are going to be some teams that are going to want to take a shot at him to see if they can work with him. But he's got a strong arm, as you mentioned, probably one of the strongest arms at the combine. He can probably throw the ball 70, 75 yards on his knees. And he's got great mobility. Great athleticism. I think he had the third fastest 40 time by all the quarterbacks at the combine. I think he had one of the highest broad jumps out of the quarterbacks, as well as one of the highest vertical leaps. So he's got all the athletic ability, but he just doesn't have it between the ears, and he's got to improve his accuracy. And the leadership ability is not totally there. I mean, LSU did go undefeated up until the national championship game, but LSU was just so loaded on the rest of their roster. They were able to win in spite of the quarterback position this past season. And you're going to find the team may take a shot on him in the seventh round, but he's going to be either in the seventh round to undrafted.
Wow. Unbelievable. Real quick, for those who want to call on the show, number we have is 424-243-9519. Definitely looking forward to hearing your thoughts and any comments. If you want to tweet us your winners and losers as far as the combine, any other topics you want to discuss, feel free to do so as always. Good stuff, Rob. Man, I guess let's jump into some NFL free agent talk, if you will. A lot of things have been going on. I don't know if you've been watching the NFL Network, but a lot of cool things as far as the drama with Peyton Manning. You keep hearing a different team every day. You have some talk about him going to the Jets. You have Hines Ward possibly beginning, or I think he has been released by the Steelers. That's interesting. And then also, if you want to touch base on this, we've got about 5 minutes or so. Your thoughts on why don't you think players want to be franchise tagged? I don't know. I kind of added it in, so if you want to talk about that later or whatever, that's fine too. But, any thoughts as far as anything you want to talk about as far as free agent talk or even Hines Ward getting released?
Well, yes. Number one in free agency, I'm kind of starting to be a little concerned with my New Orleans Saints here. We don't have Drew Brees signed. We don't have Carl Nick signed. We have Marcus Colston signed. So a lot of fans here in New Orleans are kind of in panic mode. Like, what's going on? move on.
I don't think there's a problem. I think you guys are going to sign Drew Brees. It's just a matter of the numbers. So I think you don't have to worry about that. He's going to get re-signed. So, you know, I'm just saying.
New Orleans Saints, that's not an issue. But, you know, but if you have to franchise Drew, then you can't franchise Nixon Colston. So the hope was you get Drew signed before March 5th so and try to get Nick signed or one of the two, and you can franchise the other if you don't have him signed. So a little bit of a panic mode, but hopefully they'll get things work out. So sorry to talk about my Saints there, but I have to get that in. And and as far as the franchise, players just want the long-term security instead of the one-year, you know, mega deal. They want the long-term security. They want to know where they're going to be. They want to know where their families are going to be for the next 5, 6, 8 years. And so they want the long-term contract as opposed to the franchise deal. And so they want to feel like they want it. And so I think that's the main reason. Even though the franchise deal, you know, you're going to make a lot of money. For example, if Drew Brees has to play under a franchise contract, he's going to make about $14 to $15 million next season. Carl Nix will make about $10 million if he's franchised, just to give those players as an example. And I know your Falcons, you know, maybe the number has been set with Cleveland re-signing DeQuell Jackson for 6 years, $42 million. And does Curtis Lofton get a deal somewhere in that price range? You know, you can make it, some people can make the case that Lofton is even a better player than DeQuell Jackson. So do you get more than that?
Yeah, for the Falcons, you know, our thing with him is that he's traditionally, Curtis Lofton, he's been known as a two-down linebacker. A lot of nickel packages, he's not in the game. And I don't know if that's a function of just Curtis Lofton, or just like you said, because obviously if you're playing in that nickel slide and, you know, he has to get back deeper in coverage. So that's the thing that we're kind of battling with right now, because we're trying to figure out, you know, obviously we've been spending all this time developing him and we don't want him to go to another team. But, you know, you got to be, in the words of Thomas Dimitroff, you got to be fiscally responsible if you want to kind of do a good move with that too. So, you know, $12 million or that deal, like you said, with that Quill said, unfortunately, that's kind of set in the stage, so hopefully we'll try to get something in there, maybe some incentives in that contract. And unfortunately, I keep hearing through the wire that John Abraham may not be re-signed by the Falcons, which is a sad thing for us. I keep hearing the name Robert Mathis may be the man, so I don't know where that's going to lead, but some kind of things we're hearing, especially for the Falcon fans out there. You know, Curtis Lofton, that's a big deal. And then also, like I said, it looks like A may not be re-signed. And we're looking at possibly franchise tagging Brent Grimes, too. So that's kind of some things for that. We're at the 2-minute warning, Rob. Go ahead and go with that. Yep, go ahead.
Listening to Thomas Dimitroff, he made it seem like that Brent Grimes is the number one free agent responsibility for the Falcons. So it seems as though they value him a lot more than John Abraham, as well as Curtis Lofton. I found that to be very interesting. But, you know, Brent Grimes is a Pro Bowl corner. But it seems like that they've made him their number one priority.
Only because of John Abraham's age. And I don't think that should be a problem, but, you know, guy's 34. And you kind of have this battle. The guy's 34 years old, and, you know, he wants to get his last big-time deal. And then if you're, you know, the Falcons, you want to make sure, well, let's get something that's kind of good. He's 34. Has he lost a step? You know, so it's kind of one of the situations, too, where both sides are trying to get what's best for each other, too. So, you know, I don't know. We've got about 60 seconds, Rob, as we wrap up the show and get your last thoughts in. Man, always seems Tom seems to fly when we have fun here. So go ahead and do a quick recap as we start wrapping up the show here.
Yeah, but we got some other interested free agencies out there. We got to watch Mario Williams, Ray Rice. We got some big names out there. We have a loaded wide receiver class of free agents. I mean, Vincent Jackson, Marcus Colston. I mean, there are a bunch of big names in the wide receivers in the class. DeSean Jackson, I mean, there's loaded big name talents in the wide receiver pool of free agents. So it's going to be interesting. You know, things will, March 5th is the deadline for franchise, so a lot of things will become a lot clearer on Monday, and we'll discuss all that on our show on next Wednesday night, which will be March 7th. Make sure you all join us. Like us on Facebook. follow us on Twitter.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you guys same time, same channel next week. We're out. Thanks, guys.
Good night, people.
Yeah, and just wrap it up, too. So as we kind of wrap up the show, too, it seems like we were talking about that with a lot of the free agent wide receivers, and a lot of teams have apparently been eyeing Randy Moss. Did you hear about that as well?
Yes.
You get like a lot of feedback here. I was like,
some
wow.
people you think the Saints are one of those teams.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to show them the money, you know, but straight cash, homie. But it's kind of interesting because is he kind of more of a name guy, or I mean, does he still have what it takes, you think, to make an impact for a team? I mean, being out, especially. I don't know your thoughts about that too, but I thought that was interesting because I'm looking at a lot of teams are interested in him, and it is a loaded class also with the great guy named Hines Ward out there as well too. I think it'd be great for the Falcons.
Yeah,
sorry.
But I think Hines Ward's washed up. I mean, they'll be almost similar to you guys signing Joe Horn.
Oh, man. Washed up, huh?
Yeah, so if you look at his stats last season, I mean, you'd be signing another washed up receiver. But,
if that's what you all want,
then you go ahead and do it.
but see, I'm thinking of, like, the locker room, though. You got to have somebody that's been in the locker room, somebody that's a good mentor. I think with the Steelers, they were trying to get a lot of the younger guys in there, which is, why he had a loss of production. So that's just me. I mean, like I said, you know, we should have drafted him in the first place whenever he came out. But here's a guy that, I mean, outstanding football player, outstanding person, great locker room guy. I mean, I think he can do anything but, help you guys, But, that's just me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you have like a lot of young receivers, need somebody to come in there and kind of be that mentor, be that guy to kind of set the stage, I think it'll be good too. So, that's me. I digress.
Yeah, it should be interesting. It's going to be interesting to watch. We're going to have to see what teams franchise who come Monday.
Yep.
It's going to be busy on the league in the next week.
I was reading the Sports Illustrated too, real quick, man, and they were talking about that. We were talking about who's going to get that number two pick, because there's a couple teams out there, obviously with Cleveland, obviously with Vikings, Dolphins, Redskins. Who's going to make that move? And then they said that there's another team that's going to be a shocker to everyone that's actually in competition as well too. So I'm kind of curious to see a team that you would never would expect. So that's kind of something that it said that. One NFL source has been quoted, so I'm curious to see how everything plays out. So I'm surprised you didn't mention Ryan Khalil, too. Matt Khalil, am I thinking right? Ryan Khalil from USC, the tackle?
Yeah,
the combine. Yeah, Matt Khalil. I'm thinking of his brother, Ryan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's still going to be a top five pick.
Wow. Yeah, we'll see whether the Vikings or they're going to get him or the receiver. We'll see. But anyway, that's it, Rob. That's all I got, man, for this leap year edition of Talking Sports with the 12th man.
No problem, man. Yeah.
But, like I
said, I know you're
getting
under well, man. I'm going to let you go.
All right, we'll talk soon, and we'll see you same time, same channel next week as always, man.
All right. Good night, people.
All right. Good night, peoples. Bye.